Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. That was a little selection of a song by Nelly called Just a Dream, and it's one of the favorite songs of my guest today, and I'm just tickled that Perry Drake was able to join us. He's at a conference today, and he was able to step out to be with us to talk about a digital marketing conference coming up in April that sounds so exciting. There's so many amazing thought leaders and digital marketing experts that are going to be here in St. Louis. It's the largest conference of its kind in the Midwest. Welcome, Perry. Are you on the phone with us?
I am, Brenda. Thank you so much for inviting me. Can you hear me okay?
Well, thank you. You're at the AMA today, is that correct?
Yes, the AMA local St. Louis conference, where I've taken about 10 of my UMSL students.
And AMA stands, for those that don't know, who might be listening from around the country, the American Marketing Association. And what are some of the topics that they're covering there today?
Oh, goodness. They're covering an array of topics on branding, use of social media marketing, sports marketing. So they kind of cover the gamut. And about half of their attendees, Brenda, are students, which is great. So that's a nice thing that they do for the students. And it's just good to be able to take my students down there as well to be a part of it.
Now, you've been teaching at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, also known as UMSL, for a number of years. How many years have you been there?
I have been here just a little over 3 years. I started in January of 2013.
Wow. And then we met, I think it was later that year, at the Association of Fundraising Professionals Conference, where I was speaking. And I was just tickled to know that there were people like you that were teaching. This is such a new field of study, is it not? How long has UMSL had this program
on social media? Yeah, absolutely, Brenda. So UMSL has really only had this curriculum since I joined in January 2013. So I was at, as you probably remember, because we chatted quite a bit at the conference and after, I mean, I was at New York University for 14 years right before I came to UMSL. And again, we had started at NYU, a similar curriculum, probably one of the first universities back in 2006. Right at the start of everything, so really kind of cutting edge sort of stuff. So I've been involved in that industry and the teaching of this curriculum almost since the start.
Now, are you from the East Coast originally?
No. Actually, my wife and I are both from St. Louis originally. We left here in 1986. We're away in New York City for 28 years. And just kind of felt like, Brenda, it was, you know, when you're in St. Louis, you know, we just kind of felt like it was time to kind of come back home. And as most St. Louisans do, they always return. For those not in the St. Louis area, that's just kind of a local joke that we all come back.
I know. I hear that a lot. Now, your wife also does branding and marketing, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. So she actually teaches at the University of Missouri St. Louis as well as still teaches at NYU. She does a couple of remote classes for them in the digital and data space. But she's really a little more of a data scientist. I got really pulled off more into the digital marketing side. And then she also has her own consulting firm, Drake Direct, where she does work with all different sort of brands, large to small brands.
So how does that work? The two of you are heavily immersed in your professional careers. You're both experts at what you do. How do you find balance between your work and then time off from just, you know, unplugging from the grid?
Well, I know my wife is listening on the other end of this. Luckily, you're not doing a call-in show because God only knows what she would say. But it's tough, Brenda, which I think you kind of might have expected me to say. It's hard to tone it down at times, and you know we can be a little healthily competitive with each other at times as well. But I think at the end of the day, we both complement each other really well. And if we're doing something together, there might be some friction as a part of it, but at the end of it, we come out with a much better product kind of at the end of it, whatever it might be. And she's a great help. She's on the advisory board here at UMSL, the Marketing Advisory Board at the University of Missouri St. Louis, and so she does a lot of assistance for the conference and just does a lot of stuff to assist me in some of the efforts, which are also near and dear to her as well.
So the big question is, do you keep your tablets and iPhones, smartphones out of the bedroom?
No, we don't.
Are they on the nightstand?
Yeah, so we're no different than the millennials, I guess you could say. Even though we're, you know, on the cusp of baby boomers there. You know, I'm 54, but yeah, we've got the phone in our hand before we're going to sleep and the phone in our hand first thing when we wake up in the morning, which I'm sure you're the same way, Brenda, I would imagine.
Actually, I've been really disciplined lately. I have kept the phone out of the bedroom. Yeah, occasionally the tablet creeps in, but I really try to, you know, I actually have a TV in my room and I don't even like it. Like, I really don't want any technology in my room because I do need to turn it off sometimes because otherwise I'll dream about something I saw on social media will, like, enter my dream state or something. But they were talking about that at TEDx yesterday, how they're able to prompt people with images that will then show up in their dreams, or they're trying to capture images from dreams and translate that. But they were talking about all kinds of new innovations, and I know you're working with TEDx Gateway Arch. Tell us about how that collaborative relationship began and what they're bringing to the table for the conference that you're hosting here in St. Louis in April.
Yeah, so let me ask, Brenda, so were you actually at the special TEDx event last night at yesterday at Warshu?
I was there during the day to watch the broadcast of the TED Talks coming in from Vancouver, and then I left around 6.
You didn't stay for the special session on soccer specifically? Okay. And again, I was talking to some of my students earlier this morning at the American Marketing Association conference, and they were saying it was really interesting because, again, for those outside of state, you know, I guess the soccer league kind of really jumped in heavily that they might be interested in coming to St. Louis, especially after we lost the Rams. So there was a little bit of that discussion going on, just FYI, Brenda. But the TED organization here in St. Louis, as you know, is just phenomenal. TEDx Gateway Arch, a great group, and I was involved with them personally a little bit more way back when they started at the beginning of 2013, and then my time got limited. But as I started to create, so what I created is basically the lab. We call it the lab, and that is my digital and social media agency that is run by students at the University of Missouri. And we only service, which I love to say, Brenda, we only service St. Louis nonprofits and St. Louis startups. Those are the only clients we will take on, and we will assist them with building out a digital strategy, a social media strategy. Maybe they need a new landing page. Maybe they need some SEO, SEM help. I mean, some of them, Brenda, don't even know that there's the Google Grant, which Google offers nonprofits up to $10,000 a month in free paid search money. So we've helped several of them get the Google Grant and then build out kind of a paid search campaign for them. And what's nice for nonprofits with that, and I don't know if you have a large nonprofit audience kind of listening in, I imagine you probably do to a certain extent, is, again, you don't have to worry about driving a hard ROI because you're kind of being given the money free, so therefore you can just use it to build awareness, which is kind of nice. And to be given that amount of money on a monthly basis is just unbelievable. You know, for example, the St. Louis Symphony here, you know, has the Google Grant. Now, they had it before we jumped in and support them, so we do help them with some of their campaigns through paid search. But, it, you know, you can't even spend $10,000 a month in paid search money, you know, for some of these nonprofits. So it's just nice to have. But it's a win-win, Brenda, for the students, because they get to do some real-life practicum, and it's a win for the business because they get some free assistance in this digital and social space for which they may not have enough money to bring somebody in to kind of do that, especially if they're a nonprofit and a startup. So it's been going great. I mean, last semester we supported probably about 12 different nonprofits and startups. And, you know, this semester, kind of the same thing. But, of course, one of the biggest clients, I'm being a little selfish this year, is me, the UMSL Digital Conference. So, but no, it's phenomenal. And it's just great to be able to give back to St. Louis and to give to the students as well. Oh, Brenda?
Sorry, I lost you there for a second.
Okay.
Perry?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Did you, two of your students just won the AAF Ad Club Award for rebranding your conference, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I was so excited. So Evan Miguel and his brother Jared, who were both UMSL students, but Evan specifically is one of my students, worked on rebranding the conference this year. Before, it was known as the State of Digital Media Marketing Conference, and we actually are moving off campus for the conference this year because we outgrew the conferencing facility on campus. And in making that move to Union Station, we decided to also go into a rebranding effort to really solidify it as a Midwest event. So we are now terming it MDMC 16, which is Midwest Digital Marketing Conference. And Evan, one of my communications and new MBA students, did a whole rebranding, new logo redesign, positioning, creative, and won the Ad Club St. Louis Addies Award, which is pretty big. And we're just really excited for him. And this is going to mean a lot of good press for us as well for the conference.
Awesome. Now, did you start this conference how many years ago? A couple of years ago? This is only, what,
second
or third?
Yeah, so when I came back, it's kind of a funny story. So when I came back, and you can shut me up at any time, Brenda, because I could talk
forever.
No,
go right ahead.
When I came back in January 2013, you know, I left a 14-year career at NYU. So I guess I was taking a little bit of a risk coming back here, not knowing kind of exactly what I was coming into coming back to St. Louis after being away so long. And I just did not realize and was so pleasantly surprised how vibrant the whole startup scene is here, the innovation, that whole ecosystem, the digital, the social media world. And you well know it, Brenda. I mean, it's really vibrant here. The Social Media Club, I think there's about 500 franchises throughout the U.S., and I think ours in St. Louis is about the 10th most active and largest of the social media clubs, if I recall. So, I mean, it's really vibrant here. So, you know, long story short, why I'm saying that is, you know, I came back here and my community and just exploded really quickly, all of my connections. You know, St. Louisans are very giving. They connect you up and introduce you to the next guy. And literally, I mean, I can't tell you how much my immunity exploded within probably a four-week time period. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna, and I got lots of connections at New York. So I had called up some of my associates and colleagues and ex-students in New York and was saying, hey, could you come in and, you know, maybe, you know, guest speak with the Google Hangout to my students, you know, yada, yada, yada. And a couple of them said they'd be happy to fly into St. Louis. And I thought, well, heck, you know, if you're going to do that, then I'll just maybe do a conference. So I kind of blew out my first half-day conference after only being back in St. Louis for 3 months, and totally through the power of social media, which you understand, and I'm sure a lot of your viewers do. I mean, I pulled in totally through social media, no paid advertising. And really, I'm not talking students. I pulled in 425 people. Again, after only being back in St. Louis for probably less than 3 months into my first conference. And I had Google there, I had Nickelodeon, I had Yahoo, I had Nielsen, I had IBM, I had 4C. So it was a pretty cool conference, quick paced. I kind of did the TED-style format where a speaker only talked for a short period of time, got down, the next guy got up on stage. And then I moved it to a full-day event that next year, Brenda, which I maxed out the auditorium. And then this last year, we maxed out the whole conferencing facility. But I moved it to more of the standard format, you know, with the concurrent sessions. I had about 40 sessions running throughout the day, you know, about 5 sessions running simultaneously with Google, Under Armour, Yahoo, Nielsen. Again, a lot of the big players kind of in the digital social space. And now we're moving into our fourth year, which, again, we'll definitely set kind of record growth and, you know, just kind of creating some media partnerships like with you, with Alive Magazine, EQ, which are all big in St. Louis, to help kind of promote the cause for St. Louis, really.
Wow. You have a lot of great sponsors, and people listening can actually see the slides, the pictures going through, and I did post the slide of several of the sponsors, which, you know, very impressive in a short amount of time, which just goes to show the power of social media. I mean, I think people in the field obviously know the power. There's a lot of people, I think, that are on overwhelm and they don't jump in. I mean, some people say that are in sales, they're spending real estate, for example, they're spending huge amounts of money to try to understand this. There are other people that are hit or miss, and then there are other people that say, you know what, I don't understand it, I'm not even going to try, which drives me nuts because I'm like, you know, dip your toe in, learn, you know, there's so many exciting new things happening. Just going to things like TEDx, where your mind is just blown open with new innovation, things, entrepreneurial thinking. But tell us about some of the, you know, tell us about the innovation that you're bringing, you know, working with Arch Grants and how is all that playing? Because you have an amazing skill at building collaboration. And I just want to commend you on that because I think it's just an example of, there was a quote yesterday that said, at TEDx that said, you know, you can go fast by yourself, or you can go far with others, and I think you have brought a lot of others along for the ride. So, how have you brought innovation into this?
Yeah, no, I love that quote, Brenda. I really do. And I couldn't, you know, believe it more and live it more. And there is absolutely no way I could have done as much as I've done without others around supporting and working with me and us working together as a team. And that's really what it's all about. It's like, what can I do for you? Kind of what can you do for me? And let's work together here for the better cause. And I think for St. Louis, it's really, for me, trying to get the spotlight really on St. Louis because there's a lot of stuff kind of bubbling in the pot, and we just need to get it showcased kind of a little bit better. And I think this is one effort. So, I mean, the whole innovation and entrepreneurial side, kind of bringing it into the conference, is a little new. We hadn't really done that before last year. I mean, I dabbled in it a little bit, Brenda, if you remember. I did kind of co-brand a little bit with Arch Grants, which is one of our larger you know, accelerator program, which helps seed fund. I think they do, and my apologies, Arch Grants, if you hear this, I think they seed fund about 25 startups, about 50,000 each. And again, just a big entity here with others, capital innovators, et cetera. So what we tried to do last year was showcase some of the startups at the conference, which was a good start, but that was our first start at kind of bringing innovation in. So we kind of tightened it up a little bit this year. And so we're going to actually kind of gamify the situation a little bit because our theme is innovation without borders. So we're going to actually have the attendees go around. They'll each be given a ticket, and they'll drop the ticket in the bowl of the startup that they think has pushed innovation the most, and then we'll announce a winner at the end of the conference and give the winner a check and maybe a couple other prizes maybe that sponsors might want to hand out. But it's just to kind of get the conversation going, because I think, as you know, I mean, you know, the world is moving so quickly due to advances in technology and mobile communications, and I mean, it's just going ever so fast. And you know, corporations have to knock the silos down and start looking at kind of a entrepreneurial sort of mindset. So I had just posted something on Facebook, and you might have seen it. JetBlue just started their own VC, venture capital group, internally to foster entrepreneurship within JetBlue, which I thought, wow, that's really kind of cool. And again, you know, if you sit around and you're dealing in a silo and passing things on to the next guy, you know, the competitor's going to be passing you by in no time in this day and age. So having that innovative entrepreneurial mindset is critical. So, you know, I had noticed, you know, a lot of marketing type conferences and other conferences were kind of bringing innovation into it pretty heavily. And I thought, well, you know what, I think it makes sense to even do it more so this year. So, I mean, our opening keynoter, for example, is Travis Sheridan, who...
love him. And again,
And for those outside of St. Louis, just to give you another little key thing about St. Louis's explosion in the St. Louis ecosystem, and for those even in St. Louis that may not know, which a lot don't, you know, the Cambridge Innovation Center, as you well know, Brenda, I mean, of all, so obviously they're in Cambridge, they're right across from MIT, I think a really large group from Google developed in there, I don't know which group exactly, but when they were scouting out for their second only location, to where we don't put our second location, you know, they went to San Francisco, they went to New York, they went to Dallas, they went to Miami. Of all the places they could pick, they actually picked St. Louis to build out their second location, the Cambridge Innovation Center, which is really kind of an incubator for, you know, collisions of ideas and that entrepreneurial mindset. And so Travis Sheridan, which you said, we all love Travis, is, you know, he runs some programming there called Venture Cafe. So he's the director of Venture Cafe, which, again, is all about fostering collision of ideas, bringing together all different types of people to have discussions and who knows where it leads to. I've actually asked him to kind of kick off. So I didn't ask anybody in the digital media, social media space to kick off the conference. I wanted Travis to talk about, with innovation comes disruption, and that's a good thing. And, you know, with that means you're probably testing business models, pushing the envelope a little bit, maybe even doing things illegally like Napster or Uber, perhaps. But that's good. That means you're really testing things out and trying to come up with new business models around an older idea. So Travis is going to kick it off kind of with that whole mindset to really get the conference going in the direction I wanted to get going. And I think he's going to do a great job. And so have you been to a Venture Cafe event, Brenda? I'm sure you have.
No, I haven't yet. I really want to. I actually saw Travis. He keynoted the Beyond the Best Awards dinner last fall at Ameristar Casino here in St. Charles County. And Beyond the Best is one of those awards programs hosted by Streetscape Magazine. And I got it in previous years. And I was just so tickled to meet him. I got to sit at his same table and loved his red sneakers. But I just loved his approach. You know, his approach was so fresh. And I think it's what we all need more of here in the Midwest. Having come from the East Coast myself as well, you know, from the D.C. area and before that New England, you know, the coast, whether it's the D.C. New York corridor or San Francisco, L.A., you know, they're 20 years ahead of where we are in the Midwest on so many things. And so I get very excited when I meet people like you and Travis that are pushing the envelope and, you know, disruption being a good thing. And that's a buzzword that has been popping up more and more lately. How do you define that word? through a marketing lens.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's my favorite word. I probably at least say it once a day. I love disruption because to me, it just means somebody is kind of testing something out there and disrupting a current business model or means of communication. It doesn't matter what it is. It's within any industry. And, you know, just to tell you a funny little story, which you'll get a kick out of, I guess it was about a year and a half ago, Brenda, I was asked to talk to the Airport Ground Transportation Association in Clearwater. And this was all about Uber. And they really didn't quite understand Uber at that point in time and kind of social media use and things along those lines. And so I said, oh, sure, I'd be happy to go out there and kind of talk about that. And, you know, I talked with the director of the program, which is Dr. Ray Mundy, who's the director of that association, and, you know, just said to him, you know, what exactly do you want me to talk about? And he said, well, you know, he said, first of all, and I didn't realize it, and maybe you don't either, Brenda, and I certainly didn't at the time, and some of your readers, your viewers may not. But, you know, if Uber actually drives on to an airport, now this was at least a year and a half ago, not so much today because they do allow so many on, some of the airports, but a year and a half ago and before that, if they drove onto the airport, that was actually totally illegal, and they could have got fined $1,000 because most of the airports are geofencing, and most of the taxi services had chips on them, and they were monitored exactly where they were with regards to the location of the airport. Now, some of it was for safety purposes. Some of it was just to, I think, support the taxi and limousine service, which is fine. So, you know, I went out to Clearwater, and I was going on right after the keynoters. And so I was sitting there listening to the three keynoters, and first of all, they went on about twice as long as they wanted to. But it was an angry group. I mean, I can understand it. They were really, and again, this was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I mean, they were very upset at Uber and were bad-mouthing them pretty heavily. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I better figure out how I'm going to readdress this audience when I go up there, otherwise I'm going to get tomatoes thrown at me. And I thought, how am I going to do this? And so, you know, I kind of went up there and kind of started out by saying, you know what, guys, I understand all of your anger. I understand all of your frustration. But trust me, you are not the only ones being disrupted with respect to advances in technology and mobile communications, et cetera. I said, we're all being disrupted. You know, I said myself as an educator, a professor, totally disrupted over the past several years. I said, look, I am no longer, I used to be the gatekeeper of information. I used to stand up in front of the kids and say, this is the information you need to know. And it's like, that's not my role anymore. The kids can go on YouTube and get just as much stuff as they want to get. And my role's totally changed to helping them kind of understand how the rubber meets the road, real-life practicum, where it fits in, things along those lines. And, you know, I talked about Napster and that whole situation and how that totally changed the whole music industry from music production, distribution, and sales, travel agents, you know. And so it's, at the end of the day, to me, it's all good. There are a lot of pain points that go with it. But at the end of the day, it's all good for the economy. And I, yeah, it's probably a longer answer than what you wanted, Brenda. But
yes.
I get excited kind of talking about it because, you know, it like I said, at the end of the day, it's good. You may be bruised up along the way, but you know we're advancing forward.
So, who are some of the thought leaders that really rock your world, either that you follow on Twitter, social media, or books you've read that are at the center of these topics?
Well, I guess there's several, and most of mine are kind of in the marketing world to a certain extent. I mean, you got Avinash Kanash, who is, again, really big thought leader in kind of viewing data, using data, displaying data to make decisions, especially kind of digital data. Again, you've got companies like BuzzFeed and Refinery29, which are going to be at the conference, which are cutting edge in terms of content curation and personalization and things along those lines. You've got the company Oracle, which has purchased Eloqua, which is all about kind of marketing automation, again, which is kind of another disruption that's kind of occurring in a way, kind of automating some of the marketing strategy, if I can say, out there. So, I mean, I think, and you know what, and here's just another answer I'm going to give you, and I've said it probably three or four times over the past couple weeks as I started thinking about it more. You know, I do interface a lot with people and go out and meet new people almost every week, probably every morning. If you, and you know, as you probably see on my Twitter, Brenda, I'm a Caldies on demand, you know, meeting new people and networking. But when I start, and it's just so funny, you know, when I meet these young entrepreneurs, because I get together with young entrepreneurs all the time as well that are down at T-Rex or the Cambridge Innovation Center. And, you know, just a few weeks ago, I looked at one of them in particular, one young guy, and I'm just sitting there thinking, wow, it's just like amazing. I was just thinking this to myself, didn't necessarily say it to him, but it's like, it's amazing what these young kids can do these days at such an early age that, you know, took you or me, Brenda, a lot longer to kind of climb up kind of that ladder and achieve those successes. I mean, they've got so, the power of kind of the technology and the social media are so there for them to help them become successful really quick. And, you know, and I've said, I was at Merrimack Community College. I was talking to a group of business club members, about 50 of them, on Wednesday at noon. And, you know, I said to them, I said, guys, I'm so jealous. I'm jealous of you guys. I mean, you have so much information at your disposal immediately to help you make the right decisions, figure out what course to, not classroom course, but what direction to take, what path to go. Do I do this, do that? That I just never had. And I said, take advantage of it. And I said, you know, that's what I'm there as a faculty member to help you guys do, is to figure out how to really make the best use of all of that stuff that's sitting in front of you. You know, I've got a really cool picture, Brenda, which I'll share with you, where, and you might have seen it, where it's like a person's face and it's got a bunch of ones and zeros kind of running across the front of the face. And it's like, that's kind of how I view the younger generation. They've just got all of this information flying in front of them. And, you know, I look at it as part of my role to help them grab that and assess it, you know, in good, meaningful ways so that they could push themselves forward. But it's just amazing, right? And I'm sure you've seen it, where what some of these young entrepreneurs can do today, and the successes that people can achieve with the use of social and digital and tech.
And how do people sort out the real from the not real? There's a lot of hype around people calling themselves, you know, so-called like social media gurus or digital marketing experts, and you know, there's a lot of offers out there, and you know, people have tons of their own videos posted on YouTube, and you know, it's hard to know who to follow, who's authentic, who's just out to make a buck. You download one guidebook, and the next thing you know, you're on their mailing list, getting bombarded. So, how do you, when you talk with, say, a startup business, how would you tell them to either proceed cautiously or not, just to go with your gut, or how to check out the hype from the substance?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's an excellent question. So, I mean, coming back to kind of the underlying theme here that we're kind of talking about, yes, with blogging, with social media, anybody can quickly position themselves as an expert if they're really crafty at doing it, right? Because, again, this provides us a means to communicate and broadcast out on certain topics. So we can do that. So I think what you're asking, if I understand, how do you tell the real from kind of the fake here, and who are really those that are most knowledgeable? I mean, sometimes it does get a little hard. You know, again, what you might want to do is take a look at exactly their followers, maybe the comments that are being placed on some of their posts or comments back to them on Twitter, or are they getting a lot of reaction on Twitter, or is it pretty flat? And then the other thing to do, and I won't mention who it was, there was one person that I had met a couple years ago, and it was a startup, and again, they were trying to, again, make themselves look a little more knowledgeable than maybe what they were, and they had bought Twitter followers. And, you know, when I talked to them and I said, oh, well, how many Twitter followers do you have? And they said, oh, we got 20,000. And I said, oh, my goodness, wow, you got more than I do. How'd you work that up in such a short amount of time? Well, that's how they did it. And I, whether they listen to me or not, that's neither here nor there. That's their decision. But I kind of, for lack of a better word, scolded them. And I said, guys, you know, I said, you got to be careful. I said, if there's a venture capitalist coming in and taking a closer look at you, and they kind of look at some of those followers you have, they might see some of them are spammy, or some of them really aren't the type of person that would be following you, and maybe see through that. Because, again, I think, you know, social media, as you know, is very transparent, and you just don't want to play those games. So I think with a little investigation and kind of looking under the hood, but I agree, Brenda, not everybody knows how to kind of look under the hood there. You know, you can kind of tell those that are posing versus those that aren't. But, you know, it could just, like I said, be as simple as seeing, you know, are they getting engagement on their posts?
And I tell people, you know, yeah, certainly don't do any of those things to buy friends, followers, whatever, but to be authentic. And, you know, if you're posting, you know, 2-3 times a day and you're putting out positive energy and you're giving something to your audience, to your followers, you know, and you're just putting out good stuff, you know, you're going to attract followers without much effort. I mean, you're going to, I think like attracts like. And the law of attraction does work in marketing, and you're going to attract the right people. And like you said, you know, I personally go through my invitations to connect, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, or whatever, and I check out the person. And if there's no pictures on their timeline, or they especially like for women, they have to be really careful. They're, you know, if a guy asks you to connect and he has nothing on his timeline but him and a speedboat, you know, and he's just smiling, you know, that's a big no blocking, because that's not a real business connection. That's not someone that's going to enhance my life. That's someone who may, and then there's all these fake profiles too, but we won't go into that. We want to get back to your conference and give out the website so people can go and read about this. UMSLDigitalConference.com, UMSLDigitalConference.com. The hashtag that's being used is hashtag MDMC2016. And you will find on that website the keynote speakers that are posted, the breakout sessions, and there are all these different tracks. Do you want to talk a little bit about the different tracks that people can sign up for? And people should know, they don't have to be a marketing expert, someone working full-time in the field. They can just have a curiosity and come and register for the day. It's a full-day conference at the Union Station, beautiful location. So tell us about the different tracks.
Sure. Yeah. No. And really, Brenda, thank you. It's really for anybody. I mean, even if you're managing a real estate office, you have to and will be using social media or updating the website to some degree. So it's really all the way for small businesses, all the way to large. So I do have a small business to medium-sized business track as well. So I try to make sure I'm touching on social media strategy and LinkedIn strategy for small business or B2B, for example. So we've got that track going. We have then just kind of the data track. So you've got Adobe, you've got SaaS, we kind of have Nielsen kind of in that data track, which is a little heavier sort of topic of utilizing all the information that we have to help make better marketing decisions. We've got the digital track, which is all about digital strategy. So again, one of my speakers is Veena Ramesh. So she's the global digital strategist for J&J Beauty. And so she's going to be talking about trying to manage a global brand kind of in this this vast world of ours. And how do you do that and the challenges that it faces. So, you know, all the way to that. And then the social media track is one that I'm particularly proud of, because we've really have some good names there as well. And BuzzFeed was one of my big wins this year, to bring in BuzzFeed and Refinery 29. And if you guys haven't heard of Refinery 29, I think everybody's pretty much heard of BuzzFeed. They do most of those little cute cat videos and all that stuff. So, you know, brands like Purina, you know, hire BuzzFeed to help create content for them. Refinery29 does the same thing, but they're focused at the moment more on the female market, but from what I hear, they're starting to dabble and expand out a little bit more. So those are the two entities that are just totally cutting edge on content creation, personalization, targeting, that whole thing. And then Pinterest is here as well, which again is the first time Pinterest has been here, along with BuzzFeed and Refinery29. And they'll be talking about, really to any audience, they'll be talking about the art of Pinterest, the art and science of Pinterest. So it's going to kind of be the basics of, you know, how to make the most use of Pinterest. And the same thing with LinkedIn. So LinkedIn will be here. And again, theirs is going to be pretty much across the board, small to large. And I think they're going to be talking about secrets of LinkedIn that many people don't know about, which is going to be kind of cool. And I'm trying to think, what other track am I? Oh, well, bad on me. The other track, Brenda, is, of course, the academic student and career track. And in there, again, you know, we'll have a couple of sessions kind of for students, because about 20% of our audience will be students and faculty, 80% will be industry professionals. That's about what it's been since I started. So I want to make sure I have some kind of conversation there. So, for example, Salesforce.com, which I'm sure you've heard of and I'm sure some of your audience has, they're going to be specifically talking. They wanted to come and talk to academics, which I thought was great, and they wanted to talk to the academic universities about kind of how to feel more comfortable engaging with students on social media, because as I'm sure you understand, there's lots of laws and issues and FERPA, Disabilities Acts, which make a lot of universities afraid to engage in social media in a two-way conversation out there. So they want to come in and kind of talk about that a little bit, which I think is great. So those are kind of the tracks kind of running the gamut across there. And also we do have an innovation track also. So where we're talking about new, so Pandora is going to be joining us at the conference and talking, and they will be talking in the innovation track about kind of where they're looking to take their business model, which I'm like really anxious to kind of try. I'm going to try to sneak in if I can and see some of these. But I'll be honest with you, last year at the conference, Brenda, I don't think I saw one talk because I was just so busy running around doing stuff. I couldn't even enjoy it. This year, I've got a really awesome team. My team last year was awesome as well. But this year, I've got a great team as well, and I'm going to try to take a breather here or there and pop in and at least enjoy a session or two.
Will you be videotaping it for other people to see after, or are you live streaming any of it?
Yeah, so we will be doing some Periscope and Meerkat. We're not going to be live streaming entire sessions. We will be live streaming the three keynotes, which, again, I think we had said earlier, are being facilitated by the TEDx entity, which I'm, like, really thrilled they're facilitating. That is great. So they're going to be very tight 15- to 18-minute sessions following the TED format. So we will most likely be live streaming those three. The rest, it will be bits and pieces. But what we will be doing, Brenda, is we will be voice recording all the sessions. So Davis Interactive is going to be voice recording those for me. And then I think there'll be a slight upcharge to get the voice recordings kind of loaded in with the PowerPoints, somewhere around maybe $15 or something. And then you can have the voice recordings of all the sessions to go with the PowerPoints.
Excellent. So you can review or... if you feel torn between attending two different sessions that are simultaneously, that you can get that later.
Yeah, because we're gonna be having 35 sessions, so roughly I think there's 8 concurrent sessions running throughout the day, and 5 sessions are running at each time period. So, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some, you know, time periods where there might be 2 sessions you would like to be at simultaneously, Brenda. So the voice recording session will allow you to pick that up. And I will make sure you get the voice recorded session, because I know you're coming. So I'll make sure you get
that
as well.
I appreciate that greatly. And I just want to encourage everyone to go to umzildigitalconference.com/register. You can get an all-access conference pass for only $89, which gives you access to all the sessions, keynotes, goodie bag, hard copy for taking notes, and live music and raffle prizes. So you can register online. There's some incredible deals for students. If you're an UMSL student, you get to go for free. That's unbelievable. Other college students, 50% off. Multiple employee discount options. So there is some great deals there. So make sure you go to this and register. I'm sure it's going to be a huge turnout. It's coming up in just a couple of months. And, you know, I love that spring is around the corner, and I love that all these great conferences are coming that are going to open our minds to new ideas. And sponsorships, do you still have spots for sponsorships? Can you talk about that for a second?
Of course, I would not turn down a sponsor, Brenda. But thank you. And yeah, I mean, sponsorships have come in really strong because of the strength of the conference last year. I mean, we're doing really well, but would always love to have more people embrace our cause and what we're trying to do here in St. Louis in terms of fostering conversation, discussion, and kind of innovation. And the one thing you did forget, Brenda, that I just want to mention, for lunch, we're driving in about 10 to 15 food trucks for lunch. So,
woo-hoo!
Which, again, brings about that whole party atmosphere, I think.
Yeah. And is lunch on their own or is lunch included?
It is, unless you are a VIP, which those are the speakers, sponsors, or whatever.
Okay.
That's how I'm keeping the cost down so much.
That's good.
Brenda, yeah.
And then people can choose what they want. That's great.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So sponsorships are available. There's the levels and benefits are posted online there. So if you want to tailor a sponsorship package that's specific to your business or to your needs, you can do that. There's, you know, a lot of the major media from St. Louis, like the Post-Dispatch and Riverfront Times and the Business Journal, are sponsors, as well as CBS and some other major players in the media field. Who do you not have yet that you'd like to have? What's on your wish list? Let's see if we can help you get someone on your wish list that you don't have yet.
Oh, goodness. I mean, there's I don't want to get myself in trouble, though, Brenda.
I would
love to have, and I guess I'll go ahead and say it. I just got to be careful because I don't want my development director to get mad at me as well, because you got to realize sometimes campuses are working closely with corporations.
Right.
And so they're kind of protecting that. But, you know, I would love to have, and I have never had Anheuser-Busch or Merits or even MasterCard kind of sponsor, and they all fit kind of well. And would love for them to perhaps be future sponsors. And if you know anybody there, Brenda, I would love for you to assist.
Sure. We definitely will connect the dots. And it's all about connecting the dots. And,
absolutely.
You know, and I'll follow up with you later. I want to talk more about your lab and possibly working with some of your students on a nonprofit I'm starting called Dream Uplifters. I've registered a nonprofit with the state to provide scholarships to women in other countries as well as here in the U.S.
Okay.
And so that's something that we can talk about later. But I want to bring in, and this has been so great, Perry, thank you so much for being with us and stepping out of your conference. If you want to hang on for the last few minutes, there is an announcement I was asked to share, kind of a big deal announcement, a guest that we've had on Alive to Thrive and some people that I know that are, creating and making movies here in the St. Louis market. And they have a big announcement that they want to share that just got released today. And I'm going to call, bring in, I see they're holding on the dashboard. It's either Gail Gallagher or Wyatt with us. Is it Gail or Wyatt with us today?
It's actually Wyatt. Can you hear me?
Hi, Wyatt. Yes, welcome to Alive to Thrive.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So tell us the big announcement with Four Color Eulogy.
Well, Four Color Eulogy, for anyone listening who doesn't know, feature film that was shot locally in the St. Louis area. And we just had a meeting on Wednesday with Werenberg Theaters, which is a St. Louis-based company, and we are going to premiere Four Color Eulogy at Ronnie's Theaters, Ronnie's 20, on April 8th, and we're going to run for at least a week. If everybody goes rushing out to the theater and purchases tickets, we may get 2 weeks. But it's just a huge deal for a local independent film to get an actual theatrical release. And it's one theater, but, you know, that's just such a huge achievement. And we're coming in a few weeks after Batman versus Superman. So if you can imagine, there's Batman versus Superman playing on probably 3,000 screens and us playing in the same theater with Batman versus Superman. So it's really thrilling, really amazing.
Nice spillover audience. People will see your posters, and there'll be a red carpet event again, which is so much fun and such a great movie. I got to see it last year, and I really enjoyed the storyline. The acting is great, and I know you did a Kickstarter campaign to raise the money for your film, didn't you?
Yeah, we did actually a Kickstarter campaign and an Indiegogo campaign to kind of round the whole thing out. And as you probably know, those are a lot of work. You know, the money doesn't come easy. You really have to get out there and push to raise the money. But, yeah, we made the film for not a whole lot of money, so we're really hoping to hit big with this theatrical release. And we really want to encourage local people. I mean, come out and see the movie because it's a good movie, like you said, but come out and see the movie and support local cinema, because Werenberg was so amazing to help us and do this. And they're very supportive of local cinema. But, you know, if the movies don't get seen, if people don't come out and purchase a ticket and watch them, they won't do it as often. So,
well,
I wouldn't encourage people to come and do it, though, if it wasn't a good film.
Right. So. Well, I concur, and I have an idea for Perry, who's still here on the line. I noticed that a lot of movie theaters are using their space to showcase maybe a famous opera or conference in the movie theater. So maybe next year the digital marketing conference can be shown at some of the local theaters. So if people can't get down to the venue, they could, or, you know, be shown in another city, I guess, would be more like that. But Wyatt, do you have a question for Perry? You probably listened to some of our interview, but now's your chance to ask a digital media expert your burning question. You get one question or one or two questions of what can you do to promote this movie opening April 8th,
well,
using social media.
You know, now that you bring it up, we have found, and there's a little preface to this question, everybody gets crazy over social media. Everybody races to their Facebook page. They post the events of their life on their Facebook page. Local filmmakers rush to their Facebook page. We've found in the past that traditional media still probably is in a lot of ways better. If you can get a good TV spot, a good newspaper article, you know, a good high-end radio interview, that brings in a lot of attention. Is there some way in the local internet media that you can break out, or that you can do something special that's, you know, more than just another Facebook post? Is there something
Sure.
you can do that stands out?
No. Actually, and what's interesting, and I'm sorry, Wyatt, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can really get down to kind of local hyper-advertising on Facebook, where you're almost kind of geofencing and targeting certain people within a certain area with certain likes. I mean, Facebook advertising, again, is very cost effective. So even here on campus, we're going to get ready and kind of do, my students are working with the graduate office of kind of targeting potential MBA students that maybe have got an undergraduate degree at UMSL or WashU. They're still here. They're kind of working in marketing and kind of just really narrowing in the focus there. So at my conference, for example, Wyatt, Travis Estes, who is the digital strategist for the St. Louis Symphony, is going to actually be
Travis.
Doing a set.
I
do you
know
him by chance?
Yeah, he's an actor part-time as well, right?
Yeah, I don't know so much about that, but
okay.
Yeah.
That's how I know him.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so Travis Estes is just a really cool guy, and so I've asked him, and he's kind of on my conference committee, I asked him to do a session on local hyper-advertising, because I just think he's a genius at kind of doing that, and
okay.
driving butts and seats there at the symphony for certain things, and so I think that all have a role. I totally understand mass is good as well in terms of driving awareness. I think it's just maybe at a different part in the funnel, kind of, if you know what I mean.
Well, it makes a lot of sense what you're saying, because we're already talking about doing certain things. For example, we have a lot of local theater actors in the cast. Almost all of the actors in the film are local theater actors.
Right.
So, of course, we're getting all the different theater companies that they're involved with to do email blasts. The local SAG
sure.
representative wants
sure.
to get very involved, and she wants to contact the people she knows. So in a way, I guess we're thinking about specific
sure.
targeting, but what you're saying, you say this geo-targeting, and I'm thinking geo-caching, so that rings in my head. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense to take it to the next step and not try to fight the masses, but rather
right.
to specifically target people who this will appeal to.
Right,
right.
And then, again, it also comes down to, you know, just, and again, I know we don't have time for it, but would love to connect up with you afterwards, Brenda, if you could do that. But it comes
yeah.
down to influencer marketing as well, I think, Wyatt, and finding, again, a couple of key influencers to help extend your reach even further as well. And
okay.
it could be some of your actors are really big out there on social media.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
love
and
to talk a little more.
Yeah, I think you guys would have a lot of synergy, but Wyatt, I think a lot of your marketing did come through Facebook and things, because their characters are so rich in the film, Four Color Eulogy,
mm-hmm.
that a profile on an actress or like the red carpet coverage, I think, you know, created a lot of buzz, at least it did around my friends, because I was posting about it, and since my Facebook is connected to Twitter, it's going out to all my Twitter followers. You know,
sure.
that's a universe of 10,000 people right there. So, you know, and so people like red carpet events, let's face it, because a lot of people don't get the chance to go to L.A., that if they can
right.
go to a local red carpet event and meet a local actress or one of your actors are – you know, they all have day jobs, most of them, and they all have their own circles of influence. So you have a lot of great potential, and I think it does
yeah.
play in for you very well, and you have a couple of months now to really take advantage of that. And I'm sure that Perry will be a great resource for you, and I love that the two of you have now met. So there you have it.
Be,
it happened here on
wonderful.
Alive to Thrive. So we're going to wrap
that would be
up.
Wonderful.
Right.
Any closing thoughts, Perry, or quotes that you want to end with?
No, not. I think I pretty much said it all with Brenda.
Okay. Well, again, yeah. we want to encourage everyone to go to UMSLDigitalConference.com, read about it, tweet about it, be there, get involved in the discussion about all the new things coming along with digital media, how you can understand it and use it effectively for your business, for your startup, for your nonprofit, and just for spreading good, positive messaging, because God knows we need more of that in the world today and getting away from some of the hate speech that's been dominating our media lately. So thank you, guys. We'll see you all soon.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you.
My fingers through a hair, my hair.